The other argument is when you go to Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, you know, that Adam and Eve are not in the hall of faith, right? It goes all the way back to their son, Abel, right? It starts with Abel. It doesn't start with Adam and Eve. So people will argue that Adam and Eve were not saved. So I'm at the point now where, at one point I was pretty sure that they were saved, because God killed the animal and he shed blood and he made animal skins to cover them. And so I kind of took that as symbolic of the fact that they were saved. But, you know, there seems to be some good arguments that they might not have been saved. So whether or not Adam and Eve were saved, if they weren't saved, then they'll be at the great white throne.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of the Great White Throne Judgment, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Great White Throne Judgment, Part 1.
Okay, today, and again, this will probably be a two-part lesson. We are going to talk about the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, we just spent 2 weeks talking about the judgment seat of Christ, the believer's rewards. So again, we said as Christians, that's the one that we want to be at, right? We don't want to be at this one right here, the Great White Throne Judgment, because as I'm going to share with you, this is for unbelievers. And the thing that happens after the Great White Throne Judgment is that the people who appear at this judgment are cast into the lake of fire, all right, according to the scripture. So this is what we are talking about today and next week, the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, there are three views, and they all depend what camp you fall into. There's the premillennial camp, the amillennial camp, and the postmillennial camp. So, you know, again, these millennial views are teaching for another time. But the different millennial views take a different perspective on the white throne judgment. The premillennial view, which is what I would be, and hopefully most of you will be, says that this is a judgment upon the unsaved at the end of the age. They will face God, be judged, and sent into everlasting condemnation. So that would be the view that, you know, I would think is biblical, or the biblical view that I would hold to. Now, there's amillennial people who believe that there's, you know, not going to be any millennial. They basically believe that we're in the millennial right now. You know, that's the amillennialists believe that we are in the millennium right now. Now, you know, I have a hard time believing that if the millennial is supposed to be 1,000 years of perfect peace where Jesus is on the throne. They say that, well, he's ruling spiritually right now. I tell you what, isn't there a lot? I mean, just turn on your TV today, and that should be enough to convince you that we're not in the millennium right now. You know, just turn on your TV, and you see the war, the killing, and the millennial is supposed to be a time when Christ rules on the throne. It's a time of perfect peace, right? Well, then we have anything but peace on this earth right now. So the amillennial view really doesn't make a lot of sense. But they would say that this is not a special judgment, but is one that represents, they would say figuratively, judgment upon people, both believers and unbelievers. The postmillennial view, which believes that Christ is coming back after the 1,000-year reign, basically what the postmillennials believe is that the world is going to get better and better, and then Jesus is going to come back and set up his kingdom. So again, just turn on your news, and we see things that are not getting better and better from a peace, a righteousness standpoint. So postmillennials will believe that this refers to a time when everyone will be raised up and judged by God, both the saved and the unsaved. So those are the three views of the great white throne judgment. Now we are looking at the meaning. What is the meaning of the great white throne judgment? What is the meaning of the great white throne judgment? The great white throne judgment is when unbelievers from all times in the history of mankind will stand before God to be judged for the things they have done while living on this earth. After this judgment, they will be cast into the lake of fire. So this judgment goes all the way back to the time of Adam. Now, there's a big debate out there now. Was Adam and Eve saved? I've always believed that Adam and Eve were saved. But now there's arguments that they weren't saved. Some people say, well, you never see in the Bible where Adam and Eve ever repented, which is true. You know, you don't read where they repented. If they repented, the argument goes, then that really would have been put in the Bible. If they would have fell on their knees and asked God for forgiveness, it seems like they did more excuse making than anything else. The other argument is when you go to Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, that Adam and Eve are not in the hall of faith, right? It goes all the way back to their son, Abel, right? It starts with Abel. It doesn't start with Adam and Eve. So people will argue that Adam and Eve were not saved. So I'm at the point now where, at one point I was pretty sure that they were saved. Because God killed the animal and he shed blood and he made animal skins to cover them. And so I kind of took that as symbolic of the fact that they were saved. But, there seems to be some good arguments that they might not have been saved. So whether or not Adam and Eve were saved, if they weren't saved, then they'll be at the great white throne judgment. Wow. If they weren't saved, they will be at the great white throne judgment. If they were saved, then they were resurrected. When Jesus preached the captivity, after he died and rose from the dead, it says that he went and preached to the spirits, I believe, in paradise. And that when he went back to heaven, he took all those people with him. That would have been all the saints in the Old Testament that probably took with him when he ascended back to heaven. And so Adam and Eve would have been in that number if they were saved. So if they were saved, they would have ascended back to heaven with Christ when he went back. If they weren't saved, then they're going to show up here at the great white throne judgment. So the great white throne judgment is for unbelievers of all time since the beginning, since the time of Adam and Eve. All right. What are some key passages concerning the great white throne judgment? Well, there are three. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was open, which is the book of life. I'm going to talk about the book of life next week. We're not going to get to it this week. The book of life, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay, what is the first death? The first death is when people die. When you die, that's the first death, right? The second death is when you are sentenced to be punished for all eternity. That's the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, oh, here goes that book of life again. So we're going to talk about that next week. Was cast into the lake of fire. So this is probably the main teaching on the great white throne judgment. But Daniel nips on the great white throne judgment also when he says, I beheld the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair as on of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. The judgment was set, and the books were open. So this is another key passage on the teaching of the great white throne judgment. This is in your notes. Okay, let me go back here. If you got your notes, this is in your notes. And it's Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 7. And it says this, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. So everybody's going to die. There's only two people that didn't die. Can you guess who they are? Do you know who they are? Okay. If you said Elijah and Enoch, you would be correct. Those are the only two that didn't die physically. But Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto men once to die. And then after that, the judgment. So when people die, one of the things that's going to happen to them is that they will be judged. They will be judged. All right. Oh, I don't know what happened there. All right, there we go. Now, some people have a misconception regarding the great white throne judgment. Some Christians hold to the theory that believers and one of the good saints at Bethany, this was years ago, gave me a cassette tape, right? And the guy that was the preacher that was preaching on the tape, you know, I listened to this tape, and he said that both Christians and non-Christians will be at the great white throne judgment. Okay, so yeah, I heard it on the tape. Must be true. I heard it on the tape. No, I'm just kidding. But he believed that at the great white throne, there would be believers and non-believers. However, this cannot be further from the truth, because believers, now saints, remember I spent 2 weeks teaching on the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where believers will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and they will give account of their stewardship, not their sins. Oh, hallelujah. Where our sins accounted for? At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. It was at the cross that our sins, not in part, but the whole, were nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. My sins were dealt with at Calvary. And so people that stand before the great white throne will have to give an account for their sins, because they had nobody, to pay for their sin. Thank God we have Christ. He paid for our sins. He paid the price. So we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, the believer's reward. But those who haven't had their sins paid for will stand at the great white throne judgment. So keep that in mind. As we look at the great white throne we asked the question, is it symbolic or literal? Is it literal? There's much discussions that has taken place as to whether the great white throne judgment is a literal or symbolic judgment. Some have questioned whether there'll be a literal throne where people stand to be judged by God. They have said God does not need an event to judge people. He can do it in the blink of an eye. They believe that Revelation 20, 11 through 15 is symbolic. It's symbolic of the judgment that will take place. So the big debate is this a literal event, or is it a symbolic event? I mean, you know, does God need for people to come before him one by one and for him to bring up all their sins and then condemn them? Or can God just symbolically, you know, speak to the hearts of people and bring up all their sins in their heart and then condemn them? So I tend to believe that it's going to be literal, but even if it's not literal, the results are the same, right? Even if it's not literal, the results are the same, that people will be judged and have to pay for their sins. Jesus Christ paid for our sins. You don't have to pay for your sin, but people that don't know Christ will have to pay for their sin. The unbelievers on trial. The unbelievers on trial. So that, to me, that's what the great white throne is. It's the unbelievers on trial. Sadly, our family members that don't know Christ, our coworkers that don't know Christ, our neighbors that don't know Christ, our spouses, our children, our parents that don't know Christ. No matter how good of a life they lived, they will still stand on trial at the judgments, I mean, at the great white throne judgment. So we see what happens to the body and the soul of unbelievers when they die. What happens to their soul? What happens to their body when they die? Well, we see that when an unbeliever dies, that there's a holding place for the soul, right? Peter informs us of this in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, that our loved ones who died without Christ, where is their soul at right now? Peter tells us this. He says, for the Lord knoweth, in 2 Peter 2, verse 9, for the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Listen to this. And to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. So Peter lets us know that the souls of the unjust people are being reserved somewhere until the day of judgment and to be punished, that the souls of unsaved people are being held somewhere. All right. Now, where is it? Well, in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, we see the place where they are being held right now. Their soul is a place called Hades, right? Another or hell, Hades. There seems to be, like, the people in the Old Testament, the righteous, when they died, they went to a place called paradise or Abraham's bosom. And that's where they resided until they rose with Christ, until they were resurrected. But the souls of the lost, the unrighteous in the Old Testament, the souls of people who die right now, they go to a place called Hades or hell. Now, this is not the real hell, all right? This is not the lake of fire. This is just temporary place where they go until the great white throne judgment. This is where they will be until the great white throne judgment. And then after great white throne judgment, their soul will be released and they will stand at the great white throne judgment. So where are the souls of the unsaved right now? They are being held until the day of judgment in a place called Hades or hell, if you will. So Hades is a place. Now, you know, Hades, and actually in the Old Testament was called Sheol, right? And Sheol actually could mean the grave, or it could mean a holding place for the souls of the unrighteous. So that's where they are at this point. And so for them, the next event for them is, and I mean, this is really nothing to look forward to, is it? It is the fact that you're going to be released to stand before the great white throne. Okay. Now, where are the bodies of the unsaved right now? Well, in Revelation 13, it says this. It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So right now, the bodies of unsaved folk are either in the grave. They have disintegrated in the grave. People that died at sea, right? Their bodies perished at sea. That's why it says the sea will give up the bodies that have perished in the water. Death, the bodies that are being held on this earth in whatever capacity because of death, death will give it up. And then the bodies in hell, or again, that word hell or Hades can mean grave, right? It can mean grave. So the bodies in the graves. So a unsaved person that is dead, their soul goes to a place called Hades or hell, and their bodies either perished at sea or died in some other, maybe they died in a fire or something like that, or their bodies are still in the grave. And so John says in Revelation, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And so at the great white throne, there will be a reunion. And the reunion at the great white throne will be the reunion of the soul of the unbeliever and the body of the unbeliever. So that when they are judged for eternity, that they will have a body, they will have their body. Again, God will resurrect it. So we ask the same question that we did when we talk about believers, saved people. You know, what I get this question all the time. We get this question on Hard Questions all the time. How can God raise up the body of somebody who died in a fire, right? And their body was consumed to ashes. How can God raise up the body of somebody that died at sea? You know, and maybe even...
Thank you for joining us today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 1 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dice and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.